everyone, and welcome to Dallas Hoops Fancast, a podcast for Mavs fans. I'm your host, Sydney, and I'm here with my co-host, Mr. Martin.
Hey, guys.
You can follow the show on Twitter at Dallas Hoopscast. You can follow me on Twitter at underscore Sydney Myers. And you can follow Martin on Twitter at Martin L. Myers.
At twitter.com.
And you can listen to new episodes and read exclusive articles at DallasHoopsCast.com, where you can also read the latest breaking news and start shopping for Mavs gear and tickets. That's DallasHoopsCast.com. Is it too long? Am I getting into where it's too long again?
Let's not talk about it. Let's just move on.
Okay. So, Rick Carlisle had two really good interviews today. One on the Low Post, which is Zach Lowe's podcast. And then he also appeared on Jim Rome's show. And he covered a lot of topics, kind of overlapping topics. So I think I'm just going to combine both interviews into this one episode and not do it like one at a time. But I wanted to talk about it because he addressed some of the things that Mavs fans have been, you know, confused or frustrated about, depending on your point of view. And so I thought we could kind of go into it and see what he said about those things. First of all, I want to ask, I don't remember this happening very often where a coach does an interview during the season. Like, I don't know, when I saw it, I was like, this seems kind of rare. I don't feel like coaches usually do this.
I think they do, just Carlisle doesn't.
Yeah, I mean, but even then, I can't remember the last time I heard that. I mean, I've heard like in the off season, like Wojnarowski had some pretty good interviews with coaches, and just like during the summer, you hear it. But in the season, I don't think I hear this very often. A head coach doing an interview.
Do you think it means something?
Well, I mean, I just thought it was surprising, and I thought maybe it meant something. But obviously, you don't want to play off of that, so we'll just move on.
Well, I didn't think anything of it. Okay. Like, Anyway, Carlisle's doing an interview. He normally doesn't.
Okay, so let's get to the topics. I'll go in order. First of all, on the Jim Rome show, he talked about identity. Jim Rome was asking him basically what is the team's identity. And this has kind of been a topic, too, that I've heard other people talk about. Because we know that the Mavericks, they struggle defensively. A lot of their players are new. We talked in the last episode how a lot of them kind of seem out of sync. And so what's their identity? And Carlisle said to this, he said, in my mind, we're an elite offensive team, but our scoring has to energize us to be persistent and aggressive defensively. He said, we're smart and tough-minded. We're not big and bruising, but our skill and persistence have to be our calling card. And that's really like a Carlisle.
That's a Carlisle team.
Yeah,
really.
That's one of his things is persistence.
Yes.
Like every year you hear about process and persistence.
Mm-hmm.
But I thought it was interesting that he said, like, yeah, we're an elite offensive team. And I think they're kind of slowly developing that identity, basically. But he said, our scoring has to energize us to be persistent and aggressive defensively.
Mm-hmm.
And their defense is something they can definitely improve on.
Well, you've seen glimpses of their defense where it's actually not bad. But you've also seen glimpses where it's like they're not even trying.
Yeah.
And that could just be they're not always focused on the defensive end. They're not always giving full effort. And that's mm-hmm. probably what he's trying to say here is that we got to give consistent effort and be aggressive on the defensive end. Doesn't mean you have to be the best defensive team in the league, but you just got to put the effort there.
Yeah. And sometimes they do put the effort in and it still doesn't work. Like, you know, we talked about Powell, how he struggles.
Yes.
With interior defense, it's like he's not even there sometimes.
Yeah, and I think I don't really know what the answer to that is right now because that's always been Powell. To me, the answer is Porzingis runs the five and you kind of run of a smaller lineup and you keep Porzingis at the basket so that way he can protect the rim. I don't know why they didn't try that at all against Boston. My only thinking is Porzingis made it clear he doesn't want to play the five, but I just don't know if he cares at this point.
Yeah.
But he might. I don't know.
Yeah.
Because it was a little, it seemed or appeared stubborn from Carlisle to play him at the four, even against Boston, who goes small. So he got stuck guarding wings. And yeah, that hurt us defensively. So even if you put all the effort in the world, you're just not matched up correctly. So I don't know what the answer is to that.
Yeah. And, you know, it might be, I feel like they have the personnel to be a good defensive team. I mean, Porzingis. DeLon Wright is a good perimeter defender. You know, Dorian Finney-Smith is a good perimeter defender. Carlisle talked about Curry, how he's picked up his defense. Yeah. I feel like they have the personnel to be a decent defensive team.
I think the what they're struggling right now is the balance of offense and defense, the personnel to have on the court. Because some of their lineups, defensively, schematically, it just it doesn't work.
Yeah.
Even if they're trying, like you said, Powell, he'll be in position. He'll jump straight up. He'll contest. But for some reason, it goes in every time. Yeah. And maybe that's just chance. I don't know.
Yeah. So, I mean, like you said, I mean, I don't have the answer to it either. But, and he obviously recognizes that it's something they're going to have to work on. I don't think they're going to be an elite defensive team. But, like you said, just focusing on it and being aggressive.
I think they can be a good defensive team. But I don't think you can run out there with the lineup of Porzingis and another big. And that's just because of the way the league is today with the constant switching. I feel like you need to have really four wings out there and then one guy to protect the paint.
Well, and it's funny because he talked a lot about the Suns and the Rockets a little bit, the Warriors, the current Warriors, well, starting in like 2015, but then also the 06, 07 Warriors, how that's what they did. It was just five out. They would have the ball handler, either Nash or Curry or whoever it was, and then they would just have shooters on the wings. And he didn't connect it as in, like, that's what we're trying to do. So I don't know. He might have just been talking about that in conversation. But if that is their idea, you know, they do run two bigs out there a lot, so they're not really doing
that. Well, and I think it's got to be that Porzingis, like Anthony Davis, doesn't want to play the four. Or the five. Yeah, he doesn't want to play the five. He wants to play a four. That's the only thing I can think of as to why he would have him out there guarding a wing against the Boston Celtics.
Yeah.
But who knows? You know, to me, I think ultimately the lineup is going to morph into Porzingis playing the five, Finney-Smith playing the four. I think Justin Jackson will be there at the three and DeLon Wright at the two. And I think that you have a good balance of offense and defense. You have long, lengthy, you know, players out there on the wings. They can switch screens. And then you have Porzingis kind of patrolling the paint and as they direct everything towards his way so he can protect the paint. And some of their best games defensively is when Porzingis was down there protecting the paint, getting a bunch of blocks.
Yeah, he talked about DeLon Wright later on, so we'll get to that. But yeah, it's I feel like they have the players, they just have to find the mix. They just have to find that rotation. So then he got into the upcoming game against the Knicks, and this is like,
it's a lot more hype than I thought it was.
Yeah, I knew it was a big game, but people are talking about it.
Flipping out about it.
Yeah, this is a huge matchup. And Carlisle said, you know, he knows it's going to be emotional, but they have to just focus on playing as a team. They can't get caught up in the distractions or in the storylines. They have to just play the game and play as a team and focus on themselves as a team. And I think, you know, if they do that, they are the better team. And we talked about this last episode, how the Knicks are just such a crapshoot right now. So I feel like they should win, but
I felt that way the last time we played them, though. Yeah. Even if they came in with nothing to lose, I felt like the Mavericks still should have beat them.
Yeah.
But there's just no way we're losing. If you just can't. I'm sorry. Like, you just can't. You have to go in there and you have to beat the Knicks. I don't care how, you just have to come out with a win.
Yeah, he also said, talking about Porzingis, he said, we analyze Porzingis' situation so much that we overanalyze the situation. Do you think that's happening, like with Porzingis' struggles and where he's playing and where he's getting, like, are we
I think that's more of a message for Porzingis. Because after every game for Porzingis that he doesn't play well, don't get me wrong, his interviews are awesome.
Yeah.
And I love his post-game interviews because he's very honest. But it's like he said, you know, sometimes you just got to move on. You know, you can't constantly think about how you had a bad game or you've been having bad games. You just got to keep going out there and playing. So I think it was a way of just telling Porzingis, stop worrying about it. Let's just, we'll get it figured out. Just go out there and play.
Yeah, that reminds me of what he said, what Porzingis, well, anyway, what Carlisle told Porzingis before their last Knicks game. He said, just lose yourself in the offense. Mm-hmm. Lose yourself in the team and everything will come to you.
And I think Porzingis wants to be so good right away. Mm-hmm. And I think he's just, you know, he's impatient with that. It's crazy because he did such a good job of patience with his recovery. And then now, like, he just wants to be good. And he said that several times. He just wants to be at a level he knows he can be at, and the Mavericks win. And he's just not there. And so after every time he has a bad game, he's got a crowd of reporters because he's a great interview, and they just want to ask him about it. And he's just going to be honest about it. But I think it's more of just, let's just tone it down. We'll figure it out.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think, and he went in more into, you know, it's a process. We're early on in that process, just figuring things out. And so, yeah, part of that might've been for Porzingis too. So the one other thing that he talked about in the Zach Lowe interview, this is something that a lot of people have been frustrated with and that has been talked about a lot. So Zach Lowe said that you're playing them most of the time, Luka and Porzingis, with another rim runner. And Luka runs more pick and rolls with those guys like Powell and Maxey, and not Porzingis. And he said, I thought he said this in a very eloquent way, very kind way. He said, are you worried that marginalizes Porzingis? Or is there work to do there? And I thought that was such a good way to put it. Like, yes, you know, they do get some pretty good shots out of that, but does that take Porzingis out of the offense, and then therefore is it worth it? And so I thought that was a really good question. And here was Carlisle's answer. He said, he started off, it's a work in progress. We're early on in the process. But he pointed out there's so much switching right now. He said, if you set up a situation that leads to switches, you have to be careful about slowing down to an isolation situation because it's inefficient. And so he was saying that as if they were to run the pick and roll with Luka and Porzingis only, that it would lead to an isolation situation. I'm guessing with Porzingis, and he doesn't want that.
I'm not sure I understand his reasoning, and nobody's saying we want to see that only.
Yeah,
we're cool with Dwight Powell and Maxey getting some screen and rolls or screen and pick and pops. Mm-hmm. We're not seeing enough of Porzingis and Doncic pick and pop or two man game.
Yeah,
it's just non-existent right now, and I'm not sure I quite agree with. I mean, I don't
the
see
reason
the
why
I don't see the difference.
Do
I don't see the difference between Luka doing it with Dwight compared to Luka doing it with Porzingis.
Yeah.
To me, it'd be the same thing. You know, he comes and set a screen, and Luka goes, and then Luka makes a judgment call based on how the defense played, whether he's going to attack or he's going to give the ball to Porzingis. I think that was more of a saving face. Like, I hate to say that,
yeah,
but
maybe.
To me, there's no excuse that they haven't played more two-man game. And I think it's an excellent way of putting the question because you are marginalizing.
Yeah.
You're taking Porzingis out of what his one of his best skills at, where he's not even involved in the offense. So
yeah, well, and like he said, you don't want it to lead to an isolation situation. I'm guessing where Porzingis would just end up on the post doing whatever. And it's like, okay, that's not really the NBA right now, so you don't want to do that, even though he's good at it, but okay. But I don't think that's the only option. Like a pick and roll. If he rolls to the basket, I think that's not an isolation. You know, it's I think there's ways to run that where it doesn't end up in an isolation.
I think the options are bountiful. Like what you can do off of that. Yeah, there might be times when Porzingis has a small on him. And you post him up. I mean, Carlisle is the king of taking advantage of a mismatch.
He's talking about it. It's a situation that leads to switches. And then he said, like, that's a negative thing. Like, that leads to an ISO, which is not what he wants to do.
I don't understand the difference between Dwight Powell setting the screen and Porzingis. But if the team is going to switch, they're going to switch.
But I don't think they're going to switch if it's Powell, because
why would they switch if it's Porzingis?
Yeah, I mean, I guess that would depend. Maybe they feel like it's more of a threat with Luka. So I don't. I mean, I don't like, really okay, know. I'm just saying. Apparently, he thinks it'll lead to more switches.
I think he's just trying to save face. Yes, reason. He's coming up with because it's clear that has just not happened enough. And there's, you can say all the excuses or make all these excuses all you want, but you got to see that more. And let Luka decide how it goes.
Yeah.
I mean, you run pick and roll with Maxey and Dwight over and over and over again. Throw a couple of those to Porzingis.
Yeah, he talked about, Zach Lowe brought up the Spurs series from, 2014 or
something? Yeah, something like that, yeah.
And he brought up how in that series, the Spurs were so heavy on the pick and roll. And so what the Mavs were doing was switching every time. And that was a way to take the Spurs out of their offense. Like, in that situation, it worked. And so I don't know if...
Did it?
Well, I mean...
They lost the series.
Yeah, but that would... I mean, the Spurs were just better. The Mavs happened to find a defense that would keep them in the series despite being, I would say, heavily outmatched. I mean...
But we can point to that one series.
Yeah. Well, anyway, so like... I don't know if Carlisle was tying that in to prove that, yes, if you do those pick and rolls, that it's just going to lead to switches, in which case it can take you out of your offense. I don't know if he was making that point, because later on he said the NBA has changed so much since that series. So I'm not really sure, but apparently he doesn't like the Luka Porzingis pick and roll because he think it'll lead to switches, which leads to an ISO only.
Yeah, I don't understand.
Which
yeah.
he doesn't like.
It doesn't do that with Maxey or Powell.
Or
I mean,
really, I mean, it does some. Like sometimes teams switch the pick and roll, but I don't think that means you can only ISO from there on. I think you could just repick, maybe, or just do a roll to where the switch doesn't.
I mean, I guess they're thinking because you can't leave Porzingis or Doncic, the defense is forced to switch.
Yeah.
And then that leaves a big on Doncic or Porzingis.
Say they did that and the defense switches, and so Porzingis ends up at about the foul line with a small guy on him. Well, then I would imagine the defense would be so focused on him that either they double or they leave their man a bit to where he can pass out and start swinging it for... I thought that's what the
pick
and roll did.
A big... guarding
Luka. I thought that was
Luka.
The purpose. Or, yeah.
Yeah, and then he... It's like I said, I don't understand his logic. And quite frankly, and I'm not a head coach, but that just sounds ridiculous to me.
You're a head coach in my heart. Okay. Yeah. Anyway, so that was his reason. If you've ever wondered why they don't run more pick and rolls with Luka and Porzingis, was the reason why. It's because it can lead to swishes, which leads to ISOs,
and
they don't want that.
I think that's a safe face answer because... Yeah. You just can't convince me. You can't convince me that putting a pick and roll with your two best players
is a bad idea.
Is a bad idea. The whole purpose of having Porzingis and Luka, everybody's talking about the pairing is going to work perfectly. It's because of that two-man game.
Yeah.
So to me, whatever. We need to see it more.
Yeah, I just, the simple thing is, like you said, you can't convince me that running a pick and roll with him is a bad idea.
And for him to talk about this switching, like, okay, don't you want the mismatches?
Yeah.
Don't you want the, like, Carlisle? Carlisle will post up Wes freaking Matthews when Wes Matthews has a 6-1 guard on him because it's a mismatch. I'm just saying.
Down, yeah.
Like, he loves the mismatches.
No, I get it. And it's
and
like,
now all of a sudden we don't like the mismatches.
Yeah. And I mean, it does sometimes lead to... Yeah, where it's just a post-up, and I guess he doesn't like that. But I think that can open... I mean, again, it's like he's been doing this for much longer than I have, but just this is my thinking based on the answer. You guys, let us... Like, does this answer satisfy you? Does that make sense to you? You can let us know.
Answer is no.
Okay, next topic he talked about that fans have been, again, frustrated about, talking about a lot, is starting lineups. And Zach Lowe asked him, do you care about settling on a starting lineup?
Yeah.
And Carlisle said, We don't have to settle on it. With the way our roster is structured, I'm not
Well, before that, he said yes. His ideal situation would be...
He said he would like to get more consistency.
Yeah.
He said, yeah, I would love to get more consistency, but we'll see what's in the cards for the next five or six games. But anyway, so he said, we don't have to settle on it. With the way our roster is structured, I'm not sure that a set starting lineup is in the offing, because the ability to adjust is an important ability to have. So this goes back to what I've said a few times in the past is, to me, when he says this, the way our roster is structured...
Sounds like he doesn't like his roster.
Yeah, to me it sounds like I said, I don't think he believes there's five guys that deserve to start every game. And so he's going to make the best of it and start who he thinks is best for that particular matchup.
Which I have said before, I disagree with that logic.
I mean, you got to start your best no matter what.
Well, sometimes it may not even be your best, but you got to have a consistent rotation, a consistent lineup to help these players. These players aren't numbers. They're not analytics. They are players. They need rhythm. They play off of rhythm. And the constant pulling, taking out whatever, and this whole idea, everybody's got to be ready. You got to be ready. That's nice. It works from time to time. But when you do it over and over and over, it kind of, you know, goes in one ear and out the other.
Yeah, you know, it's so interesting because we say that all the time. And in this interview, he said about the rotations and stuff, he said, I know it's difficult on players. And he said this specifically. He said, we have to remember that, you know, they're not just numbers, that these are human beings that need to be communicated with. And I was like, that's our point. Like,
I'm not sure he quite understands that point.
Well, or maybe he does get it and he feels like he has no other choice.
Yeah. I don't know. I felt like this, Carlisle doesn't do this.
Do what?
Interviews.
Well, that's my point. He doesn't do interviews. So that this to me seems very rare.
Well, and Carlisle is a psychological guy. You know, he plays the psychological games. It has a reason. Yeah. And I don't know what his purpose is here. Is it to alleviate fan frustration or is it to alleviate player frustration?
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe both. But yeah. He did two in one day.
Yeah.
And it's so strange. Like he just does not do those kind of things.
Yeah. When I heard that, I saw Zach Lowe's tweet and I was like, whoa, that is weird. Rick, and then when you said he was on Jim Rome, I was like, what the heck?
Yeah. And so he, I don't know what.
And they asked him these questions that fans have been asking.
Yes.
And he answered them. And in some ways it was coach speak, you know, it wasn't always a great answer, but he did give little nuggets of honesty of, you know, this is why we do certain things. So anyways, but yeah, that one about how he said they're human beings, you know, and the rotations are difficult. It's like, yeah, but it seems like you just do whatever. And again, if he has no choice, he's got to do what's best to win.
You have a choice.
That was deep.
I'm just saying, like, you, if these guys aren't that good anyways, then you flipping, flopping the lineups and switching all that, it's not going to make that big of a difference anyway. So to me, for the sake of consistency, keeping these players in good rhythms on a regular basis, you should have a set lineup.
Yeah. So,
but what do I know? You know, I'm not a coach. I have a regular full-time job.
Hey, coaching is a full-time job too.
Well, I'm talking
about... You just meant like a regular... Yeah. Okay, so more on starting lineups. A little more about starting Curry and Brunson, because Zach asked him, do you wish that Luka didn't have to do so much? And Carlisle said, yeah, obviously. And so that's why they've tried starting Brunson and Curry, because they can be a secondary playmaker. He is aware of that. They're kind of trying different things. But another thing about the starting lineup that, again, fans have been asking about is, why not start DeLon Wright?
Mm-hmm.
And Zach Lowe said this. He was like, I thought when you got this guy, I thought he was going to be a starter. Like, you know, that was my
thing. He's played like a starter.
Yeah, but he hasn't been starting. And Zach was like, you know, why not? Why not start DeLon Wright? And so Carlisle said he's played really well, but he plays more effectively off the bench with Brunson and Hardaway. And that's kind of what fans have thought too, that either... He just plays, maybe he's more comfortable off the bench, or DeLon himself said he would rather come off the bench. But this is basically Carlisle saying that he just plays better off the bench.
I get if you want to get more minutes with those guys. But can we really say for certainty that's true? He got two starts.
True. Yeah.
The first two games. And we've decided, or actually not even the first two games. It was this very next game, the second game of the season against the Pelicans, he came off the bench.
But it's not even that he plays better off the bench. He said that he plays better with Brunson and Hardaway.
Well, and you can find ways to get minutes with him there, but we don't really know for certainty. You never know what could have developed with him and Luka.
Yeah.
Because we got about 5 minutes of game time between them two. Why not try that for a little bit longer? I mean, we're so stubborn with some of the other decisions. Unless DeLon just flat out said, I want to come off the bench. I can't imagine a player ever agreeing to that or wanting that. Even if he did, you should have told him, like, hey, I appreciate it, your willingness to come off the bench, but we need to try this a little bit longer to see how it works.
Yeah, that's my thing is, like, you know, if he wants to come off the bench or if he prefers it, honestly, I don't really care. If they need him in the starting lineup,
yeah,
I feel like...
And you can still find minutes for him and Jalen and Tim Hardaway to all play together. Yeah. You can still do that. It's not like that he'll never get to play with those guys. I just think after two start, I don't know how many. I know it hasn't been very many. Can we honestly say for certainty that him and Luka just don't play as well together? I think that's ridiculous.
I mean, so he and Luka have played 120 minutes together. That's out of other two-man combinations. That's about That's about the middle of the pack. And they're at plus 4.6 when they play together. But I just think, you know, the combination of Luka's offense, Wright's defense, plus his ability to make plays. Yeah. But, you know, again, it's like he does play really well off the bench with Brunson and Hardaway. And maybe he prefers that. I just wish...
I think we just gave up on it too quickly.
Or maybe, like I said, if he really just would rather come off the bench, and so Carlisle said, okay, I'll concede to that. But I would rather
him start. But even then, I would have told him, like, hey, I'm really glad you have such a great attitude.
But we need you to start.
We brought you here to start. We brought you here to play with Luka.
Yeah.
And we're going to have to find a way to make that work.
Yeah.
That, to me, is the way it should have gone. And I feel like, you know, against some of these guards that are killing us, like Kemba, DeLon would have been a great option.
Yeah.
I'm not going to reopen old wounds but...
So anyway, those were some of the highlights. He talked about a lot of other things. He talked more about Porzingis and about the offense, the upcoming game against the Knicks. And then he went into some pretty interesting, just looking back kind of stuff. So Zach Lowe talked to him about the 2011 finals, the game two shot that Dwayne Wade hit. And then they put the Heat up like 15 or whatever right before the Mavs made their comeback. He talked to him about that. You know, what do you remember about that moment? Also, the end of game six when Dirk left the court when he was really emotional.
Yeah.
Talked about Malice in the Palace because Carlisle was there during that time. So there was a lot of interesting topics that he and Zach Lowe covered. The Jim Rome interview was a little bit shorter, but still a good interview. Listen to that one. And then the Zach Lowe interview is a lot longer. It goes into more detail. So really listen to both. They're both great. And again, like, you never, I never see this from, I don't think, I can't remember the last time I saw a head coach in season do two pretty in-depth interviews like this. But Carlisle, I don't think I've ever seen it.
Well, Carlisle used to have the Rick Carlisle show on Fridays on ESPN. True. He may still do. I don't listen to ESPN anymore. But he used to do that during the season. But stuff like this, he hasn't done in a long time. And it was just a little weird that he did two in one day. He despises this stuff. You know, for him to do that, it was really surprising. And I just want to clarify something.
Oh, okay. Uh-oh.
I like Rick Carlisle.
Okay.
There's no other coach available.
Is this an official on the record press
release? Yeah, I just want people to know, like, yes, some of the things he does really frustrates me because sometimes I feel like it's just complete obvious, you know, what you should do.
Yeah.
He does frustrate me, but there is no available coach right now that I'd rather have. Now, if Greg Popovich became available, of course, I'd take him in a heartbeat. Or Doc Rivers, I'd consider him in a heartbeat. But there's just nobody else out there that I would take. So I'm happy with Rick Carlisle. That doesn't mean he doesn't frustrate me with some of the decisions that are made. Of course, he has to run a team. I just get to complain about
it. Yeah, I think I want to say that every fan base like has this problem. Every fan base after every loss wants to fire everybody.
Oh, of course, yes. I never and cut everybody
want that. And, yeah, but you know, like we from the outside see these guys and we respect them and think they're good coaches because we just see the wins. But I think, you know, when you see it, you know, night in and night out for year after year, this stuff just kind of starts eating at you a little bit.
And a lot of
it's just his way.
Yeah. And, you know? But like I said, like he is one of the best coaches in the league. I mean, he's not perfect.
Yeah. He's not perfect.
And so, you know, and it's easy for me as a fan to sit here and scream at the TV, you know, not that it's what I do. Crap. to sit here frustrated about a game that I felt like we could have won. But, you know, they're 6-4 through 10 games.
Yeah.
They had some losses that they probably should have won. And it's a great way to stay in shape.
And they have some games coming up that should, you know, build their confidence a little bit. I think the Knicks game, if they got to bounce back. And Carlisle talked about that too. He said that's an important game to build that confidence, to bounce back. You know, that it means a lot to them. And so I think they'll come out focused. And they have the Spurs coming up, the Rockets coming up. Eric Gordon, they just announced he's having surgery. Yeah. So he'll be out. And
a lot I think of injuries they have this year.
I know. Yeah, it's weird. And then the Warriors and Cavs coming up too. So, I mean, they've got a short stretch of games here that they can really build some confidence and some momentum. But, yeah, it's anyway, it was good interviews. Listen to both of them, Jim Rome and Zach Lowe. We just wanted to kind of share our thoughts on some of the things he said. I think that's it. Was there anything else you wanted to say about that?
I am a Mavs fan.
Okay, good.
Okay.
But that's it for us. Let us know what you guys think of these interviews after you listen to them. Again, you can tweet us at Dallas Hoopscast, at _ Sydney Myers. Martin is at Martin L. Myers. Let us know your thoughts. What do you think about Carlisle's answers? But yeah, we'll see how they do in this Knicks game. Hopefully they get a win, but we'll see. Thank you guys so much for listening. We'll see you guys in the next episode. Bye. We're not promised tomorrow in this little shop of horrors. Not promised in this